It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The 2026 Winter Olympics have come and gone. Did you watch the games? How do you think the U.S. did? Now that the games are over, we wanted to take a step back and talk with some of the athletes that represented Team USA, with, of course, ties to Illinois, to the 21st state. So joining us today is Ethan Seperin from Glen Ellen.
It's Casey Dawson, Ethan Seperin, and Emery Lehman. This trio trains together at the Olympic Oval at Salt Lake City, Utah. They skate together almost every day. They held it together on that final bend that got a little bit wonky. Casey Dawson, Emery Lehman, and Ethan Seperin start their pursuit of a gold medal.
Just watch how in sync these three are as soon as they get up and get up to speed.
And here they come to the finishing line. It'll be a new best time for the United States.
So Seperin got the chase, and now he gets the inner. Ethan Seperin is coming on the inside, and he blows past Casey Dawson. This is the likely Olympic duo, and they're in a dead sprint to the line. Oh, Seperin at the end by 16 hundredths. He's headed to Beijing.
All right, a highlight reel there. Ethan has previously taken bronze at Beijing 2022, silver just this past month, and he joins us now for the rest of the hour today. Ethan, welcome to the 21st Show, and congratulations.
Oh, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Listeners, you can join us, as ever, 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. All right, Ethan, just tell us a little bit about yourself. You grew up in Glen Ellen. What was that like?
Oh, yeah, growing up in Glen Ellen. Yes, born and raised, great town. Went to Ben Franklin, Hadley, and Lombard West. All schools were always super supportive of, skating ambitions. I don't know how many days of school I missed my senior year of high school, but, the town was always super supportive and, a great park district. Grew up playing multiple sports. Was always soccer in the fall, baseball in the spring. And, skating pretty much happened year round at that point, but, it helped fill the holes and, just make me a better athlete.
When did skating become a part of your life?
So I started speed skating when I was 2 years old.
Oh, come on.
I followed my older. Yeah. Yeah. So my family attended the 2002 Olympics in Salt Lake City, and so my oldest brother started speed skating when he was like, I don't know, 8 or 9. See, he's 14 years older than I am, and then I've got another brother 8 years older than I am, so we're a little spread out. Maybe I was an accident, maybe not, but I think it's turned out decent.
So you had some older brother influences then on the skating.
Major influences. I mean, I definitely wouldn't be the athlete I am without their support and, I wouldn't say scrutiny, but their, not opinions, but, their...
We'll call it encouragement, maybe.
brotherly encouragement, for sure. And yeah. So, I followed them to the rink. I just, wanted to be there. They sat me on the hockey bench, and then eventually I didn't want to sit on the bench anymore, and I ended up on a 5-gallon painter's bucket in the middle of the ice, skate strapped on, and then I started pushing the bucket eventually, and then so on and so forth, ended up at the Olympics.
That's a lot of so on and so forth. We're going to talk through
some of
that.
Yeah, there was a whole lot of that.
So why speed skating? Why not hockey or figure skating or some other sliding sport as they're known?
That's a really good question. I just, I fell in love with it ever since I was a kid, and there's just nothing like racing around the track, just kind of feeling the wind in your face. It was cold, but when you're going fast, you don't really care. It just feels like you're flying. So I didn't try hockey skates till I was 13, and I still struggle on them a little bit, at least relative to speed skates. But I don't know, there's just something about just going as fast as you can for as long as you can.
How young does competition start for speed skating? I think those of us who are not in this world just have no concept. Are you out there competing at age 4, age 5 or something?
Yeah,
like that?
So we do. They used to be all about age divisions. Now it's moved more towards ability meets and such. So you have kids racing are at the same speed as them. And so that makes it a little better. But I believe the youngest age group is, it used to be tiny tots, and that was pretty much anything below 7 years old. And so I was a tiny tot for quite a while, just racing around Chicago, because Chicago's always had a rich history of short track clubs. And yeah, pretty much after tiny tots, you go to Pee Wees, and it's just age groups of 2 years and such. So, you know, it's all, you know, they're not just sending you to the line going against world champions right out of the gate. But
how fast are tiny tots going compared with, say, world champions?
Oh, geez, it's been a while. So on short track, the best in the world will go around 8 seconds a lap for, it's a 111 meter track. And as a tiny tot, you're maybe going 20 seconds a lap. Like, that's a maybe. It can be, believe me, it can go for a very long time. But so obviously there's a solid gap there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are talking with Ethan Seprin, who is an Olympian, a U.S. Winter Olympian in men's speed skating. This was his second Olympics, going to Milano Cortina in 2026 here. If you want to join us today, 800-222-9455 is the number. Maybe you have questions about what it was like at the Olympics. We'd love to hear from you. 800-222-9455. We are going to continue with Ethan Seprin when we return. This is the 21st show. Stay with us. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are speaking with Ethan Seprin, who just came back from a successful Winter Olympics. He represented the United States and Illinois in speed skating, winning silver in the men's team pursuit event. As I mentioned, he has roots here in Illinois, specifically in the Chicago suburb of Glen Ellyn. If you want to join us today, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So Ethan, talk about when the idea, so you said we were talking about, you know, you start out in like very, very young person speed skating, put the skates on at the age of two. At what point do you start to think Olympics, right? Is that the be all end all goal for people in speed skating? Or is that something that like, well, that's what the rest of us pay attention to, but you all have your own events that are maybe more important among the people who do this day in and day out?
Yeah, I mean, the Olympics are definitely the end-all goal. I mean, it's just, you know, it's what you dream of growing up. Of course, you know, the Olympics are every 4 years, so on the in-between 3 years, there are world championships and such. So, you know, becoming a world champion is obviously a huge deal, because it does set you up for, you know, even if it means, sorry, when you win a world championship, the next thing you're thinking of is, how do I make this happen at the Olympics in X amount of years? And, I mean, growing up, I mean, it was, like I said, the Olympics were always the dream. They were always the goal. Or I guess more of the dream than the goal. It really became the goal probably when I was like 13 or 14, when I started getting a little bit faster, just in my age group. Of course, like oldest brother was coaching me at the time, and you know, there's a lot of baby steps along the way, making like a junior world team or winning your first age group nationals. And along the way, you start believing just a little bit more with each accomplishment. And, you know, eventually you're at Olympic trials, hopefully in a spot that, you know, you can try and make the team.
You know, I think you mentioned missing a lot of days of high school, especially in your senior year. Tell me, to the extent you can remember, what would a typical day be like for someone trying to get ready to compete at such an elite level back then, right? When most kids are like struggling to hit the alarm, get out of bed, make the bus, get their homework done, that kind of thing. You have this other thing you're trying to do. What is a typical day like for you back then?
Oh, I mean, believe me, I think what high school started at 7:30 or 7:35. I walked to school, or some mornings if I got up a little late, ran to school. And then thankfully I had a really awesome guidance counselor, Mr. Nevers at West, and he set me up. So 8th period I had off, and 7th period I had lunch, and we had free lunch, so I could leave school between 12 and 12:40 depending on the day of the week. And after that, we'd drive over to a teammate's house. We'd carpool up to the Pettit Center in Milwaukee. Get there around 3 or 3:30. Be on ice around 4. And let's see, yeah, practice, drive back, get dinner along the way, and drive back home and do it all again Wednesday and Friday. And then on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays, we always had short track. So that was within the Chicagoland area. I said earlier, Chicago has a lot of great clubs. I grew up starting with Glen Ellen, and then see, there's Park Ridge, Franklin Park, Northbrook, Evanston. So, it's a very community-driven event, and whoever had ice on certain days of the week, that's where we would go, and it would always be open arms to, keep the people going.
You were going to Milwaukee every day? That's what, 90 minutes
Let's
one way
see.
of driving?
Oh, yeah,
Wow.
90 hour and 40. So I would go up Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then stay with my brother Friday nights, train Saturday mornings, and then drive back.
Wow. What an amazing dedication to the craft. So, talk to me about the actual gear. You mentioned how different hockey skates are. Tell me about the skates you use. How for and again, for most people who are listening, maybe they've put on some, rental figure skates when they skated as a kid. Maybe they used hockey skates. What is the gear you're using?
So, hockey and figure skates pretty much just go the length of your foot in the boot. Speed skates vary from 16-inch blades to 18 inches. So I use a 17 and a half inch blade, and it's a millimeter thick on long track. And that's not the only kind of weird thing about it. The heel detaches also, and there's two springs on the front of the bridge of the boot, and that brings the blade back to your heel once you're done pushing. So we call that the flap skate. That's been around since 1997. And there's a whole bunch of variances and, stiffness of blades. There's even stiffer springs nowadays. The boots are custom molded to every skater's foot. So, I actually use a hockey brand, True Hockey. They also made speed skates at a time. And yeah, they take a whole custom wrapping of your foot, make a mold of it, and then put layers of carbon fiber down. And that's just to make sure there's no power loss and such, because and you can make the boots as stiff or as soft as you want to, because every skater is a little different. So there's a whole lot going on, but it all helps to helps you feel the ice a little bit better to go that extra second faster.
And then that's just the feet. You're wearing a helmet. You have this like bodysuit on. Talk about that. What is that process like getting dressed
So the
before a match?
suits, so we call those skin suits, and those are skin tight. There's different aerodynamic materials along the whole thing. And see, in 2002, it was the first time, we call them the Swift skin, those were made, and those were more aero than more of just like a pajama suit that's just kind of a regular old like nylon type of thing. And so you look around at all the different countries and the different manufacturers, and they'll all use different materials, just because it's, there's no standardized thing. Think of it kind of like the 2008 wetsuits that, what I can't remember, like kind of like fish scales, but for us
Oh,
it's
right, the
for
shark suits
air.
or whatever. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. The help the
So for
swimmers. Yeah,
us,
yeah, yeah.
those aren't banned. They don't put limits on wearing an aerodynamic suit, although like you just can't have fins and stuff like that protruding off of it more than like a millimeter.
Would
So
that
it's
help
all.
to have fins?
Oh yeah, I mean, aerodynamics is a whole nother ball game that just, it's like an endless opportunity of like, well, what if? And they just don't want things, falling off, inhibiting other skaters and such, or if you crash, making it, dangerous for yourself or the others around you.
Yeah. So what are your favorite types of events to do, right? You got different lengths of races, different combinations of people you can be with.
Yeah, so growing up was always about pack skating. Time trialing is fun, but it also it hurts the most, and if it's going bad, it's going real bad. But pack racing is always what I loved growing up at the Pettit Center or on short track. And so the Mass Start's always been a big call out to me. Just, you know, you're out there skating against up to 24 other guys, and, you know, you're bumping shoulders, just, you know, guys skating on top of one another in the corners four wide, and you're just, you know, you're one slip away from going down, and it's just, it's exhilarating. That also, I mean, Team Pursuit's also a favorite of mine, just because, you know, you're not out there alone. It's not all, the pressure of the world isn't just on your shoulders. You know, you're sharing it with two other guys, just trying to go be cohesive and work together to get across the line as fast as you can. And then, I mean, I enjoy the 5K as well. That's I won that at the 2022 Olympic trials. And, you know, that's all about just giving yourself a chance, and you're trying to redline for 6 minutes, and you just got to have faith in yourself that you're going to make it.
All right, let's go to the phones for Ethan Seprin. We're going to go to line one, where Doug is calling from Naperville. Doug, thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Brian. Ethan, I wanted to congratulate you on behalf of all of us in Illinois, and just love the history of I first knew in speed skating Ann Henning in Northbrook in 1972. Mm-hmm. As you know, when she won the two medals, gold and bronze, in Japan. And I used to watch her train in the summer on the hills of in the forest parks and the several elevations in Northbrook, going up and down the hill in the famous speed skating form that you have so perfected. So remembering Ann Henning and all Illinoisans, and so proud of you. Congratulations, Ethan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Anne actually signed a poster, her Snoopy poster, for me after the 2022 game. So I've got a bit of a personal connection with her. So thank you.
Nice. Thanks so much for the call, Doug. Just tell me a little bit. We have about 5 minutes left here. What is it actually like just to be in the Olympic Village, right, to be with all these elite athletes from around the world? Talk about how that feels.
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, in Beijing, everybody was a little bit afraid of one another, and just it was a different tone. You know, you're getting COVID tested every day. But this time around, everybody was a little bit more open. We had a athlete resource center where everybody could just kind of pile in, watch events from day to day. And, you know, we ended up watching a lot of figure skating with figure skaters. They helped us know what was going on, or hockey. We're on the same floor as the women's hockey team, and they're a blast. No, the first day that the men's hockey team arrived, Matthew Tkachuk came up to our table. He was like, "Hey guys, I'm Matthew. You know, we're here to stay. You know, if you guys need anything, if you guys are alone eating, like, come along. You're gonna, you know, nobody. They're good, just role model, keeping the energy going, flowing. It's just there's a lot more energy this time around, and that was a lot of fun to experience and just, you know, witness the life changing moments in other athletes' lives while you're going through the same thing."
Yeah, yeah. Is there a rivalry aspect to any of that? You know, a little good-natured ribbing of the figure skaters by the speed skaters, or vice versa, or anything?
No. I mean, everybody is really just curious how things work in other sports, and just how, you know, how similar we train or how different we train sometimes. And just, you know, everybody is just so supportive just for Team USA as a whole, just making sure that we all get through it together. Because, you know, I think people forget how much pressure, you know, comes with being at the Olympics, and not just being at the Olympics, but expected to win or bring something back home for the country. And, you know, we're all people at the end of the day in that room. And it's all about getting through that together and just having a good time, because, I mean, the medals are awesome, but you're going to remember a lot of those personal experiences a whole lot more.
Yeah. How do you handle that? How do you deal with that pressure? Do you take it on yourself?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely is a very stressful time of your life, but it's also, again, there's so much energy going on that it's thrilling that, you know, you just got to be grateful for the opportunity and take hold of it, because, you know, it's potential life-changing moment, or, you know, career defining moment. And, yeah, you just got to find a way to embrace it and use it to elevate yourself instead of weigh you down.
Well, we're almost out of time. Last question. What's next for you? Where do you go from here?
That's a great question. So currently in the off season, taking the time to just kind of relax, come down and see, at least skating for another year. I think I've got more to give individually because, there's been ups and downs the last 4 years and you kind of got to evaluate and just be like, okay, like, I don't just want to do this to do this. You know, I want to do this because I believe I can succeed. And, keeping a short kind of scope on things and being like, okay, well, like, what can I do right now to be a better athlete or to be a better skater or better teammate? And, you know, I think I can do that for another year and just see where that takes me before, you know, because 4 years out, you know.
I would say French Alps 2030. That's a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long time away. And, you know, all of us are living through this. You know, it's not like you just live at the Olympics. So you kind of have to find a way to enjoy the journey along the way because, you know, 2 or 3 weeks doesn't fully define your life, but it definitely is something to look forward to if the opportunity arises.
Ethan Seprin from Illinois represented the United States in speed skating, winning silver in the men's team pursuit. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us today on the 21st Show. Congratulations.
Thanks for having me.
That is all the time we have for today. Coming up tomorrow, it is the official policy of the U.S. government to work toward putting people on Mars. Debates about that usually focus on cost and national priorities. Less considered is what life on Mars would do to the people who went there. That, however, is the subject of a new book by scientist and Illinois native Scott Solomon. It's called Becoming Martian: How Living in Space Will Change Our Bodies and Minds. We'll talk with him tomorrow here on the 21st Show. You can find a podcast of our program at our website, 21stshow.org, or look us up on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Colson Khan. Technical direction and engineering from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.